What is the use of taking birth if you have not appreciated it and if you have not dyed it in the color of Satguru's devotion? This is Mastanaji's Bhajan Kya Hua Jai Janamaliya, page 8. You are wandering and traveling to every place, but you don't discover what is within you. Satguru is dwelling near you, but he didn't come in your sight. You received this garment, the body, with no stains, but you have made it full of stains. After taking the soap of Nam, you haven't removed even one stain. Lust, anger, greed, attachment, these thieves are behind you. They stole from you very much, but you never knew their secret. You never came in the company of a saint, and you never sang in praise of God. Your country's glory is endless, but you've never understood that. What is the use of taking birth if you've not appreciated it, and if you have not dyed it in the color of Satguru's devotion?
Kya hua che janamaliya par kadra janamata payana Satguru ki bhagati wala is par ranga chatayana Kya hua che janamaliya par kadar janamda payana Satguru ki bhakti wala is par ranga chatayana Dar dar bande pire vatak da ko jayan dar dalayana ko jayan dar dalayana Satguru tere kol sivasta najar teri pare ayana Najar teri pare ayana Kya hua je janam liya par kadar janam ta payana Satguru ki bhakti wala is par ranga chatayana Dina daga tenu chola similia tako daga karayai tako daga karayai kabi namda sabun leke ikabi daga mitayana Ik bita gamitayana Kya hua je janamaliya par kadar janamda payana Satguru ki bhakti wala is par ranga chatayana Kam krodh molo balu tere e bhi tere piche hai bhi tere piche hai Lutiya kubak bar na kiti pedai no kalayana Bedai no kalayana Kya hua je janamaliya par kadar janamda payana Satguru ki bhakti wala is par ranga chatayana Kabina aya sad sangat me kabhi bihar gun gayana kabhi bihar gun gayana desh tere ki apram paramaya bed tu uska payana Ved tu uska payana kya hua je janam liya par kandar janam da payana sate guru ki bhakti wala is par ranga chadayana
What is the use of taking birth if you have not appreciated it and if you have not dyed it in the color of Satguru's devotion? This is a reminder that next Friday and Saturday, August 18th and 19th, there will be a two-day meditation retreat in remembrance of Master Kripal Singh's life. Master Kripal was born February 6, 1894, and left August 21st, 1974. And 4 weeks from now, there will be a one-day meditation retreat for Sanchi's birthday. That will be Saturday, September 9th. All initiates are welcome to attend any scheduled meditation sittings. You can pick up a schedule at the book table in the big house. And local initiates who want to take meals at the ashram, please let us know. There's a sign-up sheet at the book table. We're continuing in our reading in the book, In Search of the Gracious One. We're in the section where Sanchi's recalling his early days with Baba Bishan Das. And Sanchi says, Baba Bishan Das was a very strict Mahatma, but he was also very loving. He knew all the tricks of the mind, and he had struggled very hard because the early practices of the path are very difficult. In the lower planes of creation, you have to struggle very hard, although later on, when you've become competent in going within, you get satisfaction and happiness, and it's easier to progress in the higher planes. Baba Bishan Das had the knowledge of only the first two inner planes, and had perfected himself only up to those two planes. Still, to achieve the perfection up to the first two inner planes is also worthy. It is worth sacrificing for such a person who has perfected himself that far. God had given all the conveniences and comforts to Baba Bishan Das, but once he got initiation from Baba Amolak Das, he never tasted any salt or sugar or pickle. He suffered a lot of hunger and thirst, and for 12 years drank only the juice of vegetables. Moreover, I have seen Baba Bishan Das meditating. He had one wooden bench in which he had nails fixed, and whenever he would feel sleepy, he would sit on those nails and meditate. Baba Bishan Das was also against lust. He came to this path at the age of 30 and lived to be 90 years old. And while he was married, he had only one child. He had only one child because he went only once to his wife. And even then, because of that, he would say, I have committed one mistake in my life. Baba Bishan Das would never allow people to take his photo, although many people would try to do that. He was a Sikh, but he was not bound by the rituals. He didn't wear a turban, but he would leave his long hair loose. He was an independent thinker. Once Baba Bishan Das was struggling with his mind, and when the mind started giving him a lot of trouble, he threw it out. And as a symbol of that, he bought a pig and tied it to his door. There were many Muslim people around the place where Baba Bishan Das's ashram was located, because there was only one street between his ashram and their mosque. The morning after he did this, when the Muslims came to worship in the mosque, they saw that there was a pig, and the Muslims don't like to see pigs. They take that as an inauspicious thing. So when they saw that, everybody got upset at Baba Bishandas. They got together and started saying, "What has Baba Bishandas done? He's an atheist." And they started talking against him. Baba Bishandas came out and he said, "Well, you have a lot of anger in you, and that is why you are getting angry at me. But first, listen to me, talk to me, and then, if you think that I'm guilty, you can give me any punishment that you want." There were some people there who were wise, so they said, "Well, what is wrong in talking with Baba Bishandas?" And they came forward and talked with him. Baba Bishandas said, "First of all, tell me, what is meant by pig in your holy book? Who is called pig, and who is the one whom you don't like to see?" They were wise people, and they knew about the sacred teachings. So they said, "In our book it is written that the unruly mind is like a pig, and we should not have anything to do with that unruly mind, and that is why we don't like to see the pig, which is the symbol of the unruly mind." Baba Bishandas then said, "I have tied this pig to my door only to show that my mind has become like a pig. He has become very unruly, and I've thrown him out. I am showing you that I have thrown out my mind, and he is in the form of the pig. You people have that mind within you, and I have got him outside. So what wrong have I done?" So hearing that, they were all satisfied and stopped fighting with him. Baba Bishandas also used to call his mind a dog, and he used to say, "This dog barks unnecessarily, and he always creates a disturbance." Sometimes when I would see him sitting very quiet and peaceful, I would ask him, "Babaji, today you are looking very peaceful and quiet. What's the reason?" And then he would say, "Yes, today I have tied up my dog, and he's not barking anymore." Sometimes I would ask him to eat some food, and he would say, "No, I do not want to eat food. Today I have tied my dog, and he's not barking, and I don't want to feed him." He used to say, "When you will understand your mind like this, then your mind will stop barking unnecessarily, and he will come under your control." When we get initiation and come to the path of the masters, our struggle with a very obstinate enemy, our mind, starts. And in this battle, we do not have any weapon except the weapon of Nam. In the battle of the world, we may have to fight for 1 or 2 hours or for a couple of days, but this battle with our mind goes on throughout our entire life. And just like if we win a battle in the world, we get honors, in the same way, if we win this battle with our mind, we also get the prize and the honor. And it is the real honor. God gives us a place in his real home, and he gives us such an honor, which is our real property, our real wealth, and the negative power cannot take that away from us. Baba Bishandas was born in a Sikh family, and there was also one Muslim fakir called Fatih who lived very close to him. They had their deras, their ashrams, very close to each other. There was only one road separating these two deras. Baba Bishandas had the initiation of two words, and Fatih also had knowledge up to that level. Even though one was Sikh and one was Muslim, they both used to say that it doesn't matter if one goes to the ashram of one or to the ashram of the other. The main thing, the main purpose, is to remember God. Like all the masters, Baba Bishan Das understood that people are stuck in so many superstitions. People think that if, after going to a church, they repeat the name of Ram, the Hindu name for God, then Ram will get upset, because that's not the right place for a person to go and remember Ram. If someone goes to a mosque and repeats the name of God, the Christian name for God, he may think that God will get upset, that he will not be pleased because he's not remembering him in a church. He's remembering him in a mosque. Similarly, if a person goes to a temple and remembers God in the name of Allah, then he thinks that maybe Allah will not be pleased, that he will get upset. People are stuck in so many superstitions like this, even though in the temples, in the mosques, and also in the churches, the same God is talked about. Usually a person follows the tradition of the family in which he or she is born and does the same type of practices that the other family members are doing. My family were very devout Sikhs, and my father and my grandfather were great devotees of the holy Guru Granth Sahib. The people who are devotees of Guru Granth Sahib have five different banis, five different writings from the Guru Granth Sahib that they learnt by heart. They make it a point to sing them every day. These banis are Japji Sahib, the Jap Sahib, Chaupai, Rahi Ras, and the Anand Sahib. And my father would recite these writings every day. However, I was so devoted that in addition to those banis, I learned by heart and did the reading of Sri Asaji Divars and another bani called Dakni Onkar and also the Sukhmani Sahib. Very lovingly and faithfully, I used to read these eight banis every day. I would get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and for 8 hours continuously, I would go on reading those holy scriptures. However, when I would recite those banis, only in the very beginning, for the first 5 or 6 minutes, would I be aware that I was doing that. And then at the very end, when I would be reading the last line of Sukhmani Sahib, I would again become aware of what I was doing. But for the rest of the time in between, 7 or 8 hours that I was spending every day in repeating those banis, my attention would never remain there. For that time, my mind would take me outside, and I would think about the world, and during that time, I would be going here and there mentally, visiting my family members, talking to almost everyone in the world. I would not remain aware that I was doing that kind of devotion. But still, I used to think that I was sitting for devotion for 8 hours. So when I met Baba Bishan Das, I told him that I was doing that kind of devotion. And he asked me, "Dear one, have you ever seen any light within yourself? Has your mind become quiet by reading all these writings? Have you ever received any peace or happiness?" And I told him, "No, I have not seen the light within by reading those banis. And I have not gotten any peace by reading those banis." He made me realize that I was not doing the devotion. Instead, I was sitting there and thinking about the world, and I was not doing the repetition for the whole time. Only then did I realize how we have to struggle with the mind and how powerful the mind is. Because we are involved in this kind of practice, when the masters say such true things, it tastes very bitter. However, if you are a true devotee, then whenever a wise person tells you anything, instead of getting upset, you start thinking, and you realize that what you are doing is not good, and that you are not getting anything. At that time, I was influenced by my father and my family, who were very devoted to the Sikh religion. My father used to visit the Gurdwaras and understood the priests of the Gurdwaras to be the ministers of God. He thought that by going to the Gurdwaras and doing the devotion of God there, that he would get liberation. Because of this influence, I also believed in Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th Guru of the Sikhs, and all the past masters. And I was also thinking that whatever other people were doing was the right thing to do. But when I went to Baba Bishan Das, Baba Bishan Das would rebuke me and ask me, "Did you ever see Guru Gobind Singh? Will you be able to go and see Guru Gobind Singh? How can you be sure that he will take care of you and he will liberate you?" I had no answers to all his questions, and I didn't know what to say. I would get upset, but later, when I would think about it, I would find that whatever he said was true. So I would go to him again, hoping that he would tell me something more about Guru Gobind Singh, or would give me some more knowledge. But he would do the same thing, which would again make me upset. But later on, again I would realize that what he was saying was true. Because of my family, I also had the idea that if you visit the holy places where the great Sikh masters have been, you can get liberation and peace of mind. So I also visited every place where the great masters had gone, all the holy places, all the great temples. I left no place out, but I didn't get any peace. When I came to Baba Bishan Das, he also told me that unless we go within, unless we visit the most holy place, that is the human body, we cannot realize God. He told me that unless we go within, we cannot get rid of greed and the other passions. He told me that the waves of greed and lust and anger all come from within, and that nothing comes from outside. Outside, we just act according to the feelings or thoughts that come into our mind. Since the disease comes from within, then the medicine for removing the disease is also within. And this is a question and answer session with Sanchi here at Santbani on May 1, 1977. So this is in the first couple of days of Sanchi's first tour. And so we begin. One disciple says, "After a while, I had excruciating trouble with my mind and very much pain in my body." And Sanchi replied, "Try to forget the pain. I think that if you had opened your eyes, your pain would have gone right away. To concentrate your attention at the third eye is to struggle with your mind. This battle goes on throughout our life. If we win this battle, we get the prize offered by God, the highest position. So we should not open our eyes only because of a little pain. Don't even think of the time. Everyone knows you have to sit for 1 hour. Yet many dear ones are opening their eyes before I tell them. Within us, God has put the infinite light. If millions of outer suns were brought together, they could not compete with the light which is within us. But we are habituated to seeing the outer light, so we do not see the inner light. When we are sitting for meditation, our mind is telling us to look outside. A dear one should never be aware of how much the time is passing. 1 hour is the minimum time. It's not very much time to sit in meditation. In the Iron Age, to meditate is the best thing. When we are sitting for meditation, even the gods and goddesses appreciate us. They say, 'This man is doing a very good thing. He is progressing even more than we.' In the heavens, there is no higher position. There is only convenience and happiness there. But still, birth and death are there. Those who are doing good deeds and helping others in the world, to them, the negative power gives for some time the facilities and happiness in the heavens. But the time given to them is limited. After that, they have to come again in this world. In the same way, after we have been to school and have studied, we become a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer, and we lead our life happily. But the government has limited the time of our job. After some limited time, the government retires this man, and he has to live a worldly life. The government gives him a pension on which he lives. And in the same way, the souls which are coming from the heavens are given only one concession. They get the human body once again. They are given that because they must do the work which they have not done earlier. That's the work of Shabdnam. Kabir Sahib says, "The human body is appreciated by the gods and goddesses. They also long to have the human body so that they may meditate on Shabdnam." Then, after getting the human body, what should we do? We have to do the meditation of Shabdnam. And then Kabir says, "When you've got the human body, don't forget it. Do the devotion of God and meditate, because this is the only profit of getting the human body, the devotion of God." And then Sanchi says to another disciple, "How was your meditation?" Disciple, "Good. I saw the Master. It was a while since I had seen the Master within, and it made me very happy. I had some pain." And Sanchi points to another disciple. And that disciple says, "I had some trouble with sleep and then pain. The pain became unbearable, and I couldn't sleep or meditate either." And Sanchi replies, "Many dear ones sitting here are having the problem of sleepiness. After half an hour of meditation, many people are trying to sleep here, but they shouldn't sleep. When sleepiness comes while meditating, they should try to take advantage of it. When you're feeling sleepy while sitting in meditation, at that time your soul wants to leave the body. So instead of sleeping, you should try to become stronger and do simran. The time when you are feeling sleepy in meditation can be the auspicious occasion of your soul leaving the body." And a disciple says, "When I sat before, it felt much different from yesterday and today. I had no control yesterday, and today it was so strong." Sanchi, "Try to avoid sleep. Because you are sitting in meditation, you must struggle with your mind. We should always be aware of what work we are doing. When we do our worldly work, we don't sleep. It is because we do not understand meditation as an important thing that we sleep while doing it. When you're sitting for meditation, you should refuse your mind. Tell him that for 1 hour you will not obey him." And a disciple says, "I was struggling with sleep, and then, finally, it came at the end of sleep." Sanchi, "It is the mind's habit to distract us from meditation. He will bring either sleep or pain. Our work is to defeat the enemy either by making friends with him or by doing anything to stop him. Our struggle is with a great enemy. This is our battle. Try not to surrender to him, but to win him over. The hard struggle is only for a few days. After that, you will start getting strength from Satguru power within. Just think, when you're sleeping, what can he do to help you? Hazrat Bahu has said, where there are only stones, what can the rain do for them? Hazur Maharaj Sawan Singh used to say, when I go to the satsangis, everyone is sleeping. Only a few people are awake. And to all the dear ones who are sitting here, for them I can speak. Those who have meditated, remaining wide awake, they have seen at least something in their meditation. Now, anyone can ask anything about meditation. And a disciple asks, I had a little pain when I first started meditating, but after a while the pain became intense. I felt wave after wave of energy, like my whole body was breaking apart. For a while I thought I was going to pass out. I just couldn't get control over the energy. And Sanchi, our soul is in every single cell of the body. When it leaves the body, at death, we will have to bear even more pain than this. If you will do Simran, you will bear this pain easily, and you will feel less pain. Master used to say, if we try to remove a silken cloth from thorns by moving it quickly, there's a possibility that it will be torn apart. But if we move it easily and very slowly, it may come off without tearing. In the same way, if we will do our Simran, our soul, which is spread throughout the body, will leave our body very easily and we will not feel much pain. But if we do not do Simran, we will have to bear much pain. So we should do more Simran in order to decrease the pain. Once Guru Nanak's mother asked him, son, why are you so sad? There's everything in the house. And Guru Nanak replied, mother, to meditate on Nam is very difficult. He was not defeated by this difficulty, but he worked very hard and strictly for 11 years sitting on cushions made of pebbles. Today you are seeing me sitting on a piece of cloth, but in my life I have never sat on such a piece of cloth. I always used dry hay or bushes or things like that when I was sitting for meditation. And the people who were visiting me very often used to say that Kirpal Singh of Delhi had made me mad. And many people thought of a scheme of taking me for treatment, but I never went away from the path. In Rajasthan, it's very hot, and I was spending the whole day on only 1 kilo, about 2 pounds, of water. I didn't pay much attention to bathing and cleaning my body because I was giving importance to meditation. You will find many people who will tell you how hard that time was. Here, you have many trees and shaded areas, but in Rajasthan, there are not many trees. Now, there is a canal system, and there are water and trees and a shaded area. But when I was meditating, there were no trees, no water, nothing was there. The lovers are not afraid of the pain. No matter how much pain comes, they're never afraid. The dear ones who are experiencing pain while sitting for meditation, but as soon as they get up, the pain goes, they should understand from this that there's some other power which is creating the pain within them to distract them. When you're sitting for meditation, you should understand it as two wrestlers coming to fight with each other. When two wrestlers are coming to fight with each other, neither is coming to surrender to the other. They are there to conquer the other. But when we are sitting for meditation, we always completely surrender to the mind. We're not thinking that we have to fight with a great wrestler. Guru Nanak has given a very good example, saying, I am a wrestler of the Satguru, and I have to work hard. When a wrestler is looking at another wrestler, He's challenging him, saying, "Come on, fight with me." The worldly wrestler only dares to fight with one wrestler at a time. But we have to fight with the five wrestlers of anger, lust, greed, attachment, and egoism. Guru Nanak says, "No matter if we have to fight with the five wrestlers, we have this hand of Satguru on our back." The Satguru is always giving us inspiration, saying, "Become strong, be strong. If you will do your Simran and bear the pain, you will see how the Satguru power is helping you from within. And the time will come when we will dominate over all these five wrestlers." And a question: is all the pain of withdrawal, or are there different kinds of pain? And Sanchi: the pain of withdrawal always starts from the bottom of the leg and rises above. The pain which you experience, sometimes at one place, sometimes at another, is only to distract you from your meditation. And a question: is it necessary to sit in the cross-legged position? I find it uncomfortable. Will those in the cross-legged position make greater progress? And Sanchi: everyone who is meditating will get a chance to go back to Satchkhand. Even the people who sit in the cross-legged position are troubled with sleep. If they sat on chairs in a comfortable position, sleep would conquer them easily. There's only one defect in sitting in a comfortable position. That is, sleep conquers us easily, and we cannot succeed in meditation. Masters say that you have to collect your scattered thoughts. You can do it in the cross-legged position, or you can do it sitting in a chair, or you can do it while you're walking. You can do it in any position you like. But the question is one of collecting the thoughts which are scattered in the world, and connecting with Shabad Nam. Many dear ones are coming to me and telling me that they are doing Simran when they're lying down. And I tell them, "How can you do Simran when you are lying? Even when you're sitting, your mind is not allowing you to do Simran. How can you do Simran lying down when there's so much danger of sleep? Your mind is deceiving you." When they obey my advice, they become successful in meditation. If you practice any work, it's not hard to do it. In the beginning, you will have some difficulty, but after practicing, it becomes easier. When we started building this hall, meaning this satsang hall, we had to face many difficulties. We had to work very hard, bring all the materials together. But now that this hall is built, how much facility we have. We can all sit together here. Similarly, when we try to collect our scattered thoughts, we face many difficulties. We have to struggle with our mind. But after we have collected our thoughts, we get much happiness and bliss from it. You will see many people who meditate only once or twice in a month, or 2 months, or 4 months. But many other people are regular in their meditation, just as they are in eating. As food is necessary daily for our body, they understand that meditation also is important for our body. They are getting interest in their meditation. And if they do not sit for meditation, even for a day, they do not get that interest, and they feel as if their body is being torn apart. Unless they sit for meditation, they cannot feel satisfied. Very often I have given you an example from Guru Nanak's writings, where he says, "Just as an addict lives on intoxicants, in the same way, once we have developed interest in Shabad Nam, if we are tasting Shabad Nam, only then are we living. Otherwise, we are dying." Try to practice, and the pain and the other things will go away. Everything will become all right. and you should not open your eyes before the time is up. As long as you are sitting for meditation, you should not open your eyes. And a question. Should we give the same importance to doing bhajan as to doing simran? Sanchi. In the beginning, when you are sitting, when you are starting out in meditation, if you are sitting for 1 hour, you should try to put 1/4 of the time in bhajan and 3/4 in simran. That is 1/4 of an hour in bhajan and 3/4 in simran. When your simran is perfected and your soul starts leaving the body, you can always be doing the bhajan practice. You can always be connected with the shabd. Now we are doing less simran, and sometimes we are going towards simran and sometimes towards bhajan. Shabd comes within us just as the worldly thoughts are coming, without remembering them or making any effort. In the same way, simran should always come within us, and we should not have any worldly thoughts. The meaning of doing simran is forgetting the worldly thoughts. It is only because of simran of the world that our soul is entangled in this body. When we will concentrate our soul between the eyes with the help of simran, we manifest many infinite powers within us. Man is the treasurer of many powers. But the practitioner of Nam will never use supernatural powers, because if he uses supernatural powers, his progress will be stopped. And a question. Sometimes, when I look into the middle of the light that I see, it fades away. Sanchi. This is because of the lack of simran. Thoughts are coming there. Do simran, and the light will become clearer. Now also, the light is clearer and brighter, but the thoughts are coming in between us and the light, and that is why we see it as dim or pale. Question. I am experiencing a lot of frustration in the quality of my meditation. Now that you are here, and the thought occurred to me many times yesterday, what was the point of meditating when you are right here in front of me? Your presence gives my simran the power to overcome sleep and pain. But I dread the moment that you leave, because I know that that power is going to go with you. Sanchi, no. The power which you are receiving will always stay here. There's no doubt that when you are sitting in the presence of any saint, you will get power. Master told me that once Master Sawan Singh came to visit Master Kripal's house. The room in which Master Sawan stayed, Master Kripal only opened for special occasions. Whenever he went in that room, his soul went right up. The power is always there within us, but the mind sometimes shakes our faith. The mind plays tricks on us. In the presence of the Father, the child behaves well, but when the father goes away, his bad friends teach him to do bad things. When Hazur came to our ashram, similarly, like you, one man told him that in his presence, like you, he was seeing much light, and it was easy for him to meditate. He was not even aware of the time. But when he was not in his presence, it was hard for him to sit still for that much time. So Master gave him the same reply, saying, when you are not in my presence, you are obeying your bad friends, and they overcome you. I know this because I have spent my life practically, even when I was in the army. People were trying to persuade me to see movies. Nobody was telling me their bad qualities. Everyone was praising movies. So I told them, at least there should be one man who will tell me the bad qualities of this thing. And the drunkards were always telling me the advantages of drinking wine, but there was nobody telling me that it's bad to drink wine, or that after drinking wine, we become mad. Similarly, the meat eaters were always praising the eating of meat. They were telling me that much strength is obtained that way. So I told them, if you are proud of your strength, come and run with me. Nobody could beat me. I was very good at running, and I won many prizes in the running competitions. This is just an excuse of the mind that by eating meat we get strength. Similarly, our mind will never tell us the advantages of meditation, that by meditation we can go to Satchkhand. On the contrary, he will always say that it's not good to do meditation, and he will always try to distract us from meditation because it is his duty. And our final reading will be from a discourse that Master Kripal gave at Savan Ashram and was printed in the September 1973 issue of Sat Sandesh. It was given the title, The Ineffable Story. And Master says, there is no greater aim or goal for the soul when it is born into the human species than to rejoin the Lord, to make its way back to its source via the holy pathway. This has been the ultimatum of all great masters who come to earth to help mankind realize this very aim. Having received the good fortune of the human birth, which is the highest form of all species, this is man's most important task in life. To achieve this end, we must first seek the company of one who has already achieved his goal and has realized the Lord. A man with but empty words is of no use in this sphere of work. Likewise, success will not be met if, having found the master soul, one does not obey his instructions. When all the masters tell us that God is indescribable, he cannot be expressed in words, and mere speeches, therefore, are of no avail, then how can the Lord be realized? It is a subject concerning experience, through actual contact, and it's not a subject for merely repeating or memorizing in a parrot-like fashion certain words uttered in some worldly language. Don't take the name of God in vain, but take it with some purpose in view. It's a subject of contact, and who is to experience that contact? The soul. The soul at present is under the mind's influence, and the mind is under the influence of the senses, which in turn are being dragged around by the sense objects through enjoyment. The result is that the soul has become the very image of the body and has forgotten its true nature. Until it awakens unto itself, how can it meet the Lord? Reunion with God can only happen to the soul. As long as the soul is under the control of senses, the mind, the intellect, the pranas, or vital airs, it can never meet the Lord. So, God is experienced by the soul, but we are all embodied souls. And until we come to know and recognize our true selves through analyzing ourselves from mind, body, and senses, we will not meet the Lord. This is why all the masters have stressed the importance of self-knowledge. For in fact, self-knowledge is akin to God-knowledge. After taking the important step of self-knowledge, then God-knowledge becomes attainable. There are no means of knowing God without the soul awakening, becoming aware of, and knowing itself. It is often said that man cannot live by bread alone. That is only food for the physical body. Similarly, reading, writing, and thinking help to develop the intellect. To feed the soul, however, one must have contact with God, without which the soul will never gain strength. For this, the masters have introduced certain spiritual practices. On awakening in the early morning, we must sit in the remembrance of the Lord and meditate upon the Nam. In this way, the soul is fed before the body. But people prefer to feed only the body or the intellect, and usually the soul gets nothing. Consequently, the soul becomes weaker and weaker. It is fearful and tremulous. The whole being becomes filled with fear. Know that the soul is the entity of God. It is a child of a lion, for God is above fear. He is valiant and intrepid. When the soul is the Lord's entity, and its nature, therefore, is also fearless, then why is man so full of fear? Simply because the soul is not conscious of its true nature. It never gets its food, the bread and water of life. The masters say that our first job is to feed the self, to know the self, to become strong in the self, and then do other work. As a test, just sit calmly and quietly, and you will realize that the strength for the whole of one's being comes through the soul. For example, to take physical exercise, one must place one's attention on that, and then the body gets the strength to act. Similarly, if you turn your attention to intellectual activity, you will gain intellectual strength. If the attention is not focused at all, the senses will not work, and the body will not function. So the actual source of one's strength is within one's own self, the true self. Attention, or soul, is a great power. But because we have never fed the soul since we came into this human body, we are spiritually weak. What then is the food of the soul? The soul is a drop of all consciousness, and therefore should have got connected to the greater consciousness, the oversoul. Through that connection, the soul's strength would have increased magnificently, instead of which the little strength that it had was scattered in various directions, in the outer attractions, and depletion naturally follows. Soul has the same nature and caste as Satnam. It is the child of the Lord, a prince of the emperor, and therefore no small personality. However, by existing in outer expression only, it has receded from the truth. These are facts which cannot readily be seen by reading and writing on the subject. Realization of the truth can only come with experience. While the attention, which is the soul, or Shruti, is not withdrawn from outer entanglements, it is not possible for it to realize the Lord. To extricate oneself from this predicament, one must go to one who has already freed himself. A man who has actually seen something will not waste his time on mere idle talk about the subject. This means that God realization cannot be achieved in any form of academic education, although that might help one to understand to a certain extent. When Kabir Sahib met a certain eminent pundit, he asked him, "How can your mind and my mind become one? I speak of what I've seen, and you speak of what you have read. How can one who has never seen anything reveal the inner truth to others?" So the wisdom in keeping the company of him who gained the knowledge through experience of the indescribable Lord who cannot be defined, is very obvious. This is not a matter of social bodies. We are talking of the embodied soul. Regardless of one's religion, there is but a single answer to this question, as there must be to any question. What is God? He cannot be seen. He is beyond sight, is imperceptible to senses and mental faculties. His attributes are inexpressible, beyond description. Remember that reading and writing and thinking are all at the level of intellect, and so one must rise above these in order to experience him. In the Upanishads, it states that when the senses are stilled, and the mind and the intellect is also still, then the soul perceives the truth. And we will leave off at that point. And we are listening to a satsang of August 16th, 1980, on a hymn of Swamiji.
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ, ਅਗਰ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਜੰਮਣ ਮਰਨ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਉੱਠਣਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੋ, ਆਪਣੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਮਿਲਾਉਣਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੋ, ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਸ਼ਰਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਓ। ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦਿਆਵਾਨ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ 'ਤੇ ਰਹਿਮ ਕਰਕੇ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੋੜ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ।
Now, Swami Ji Maharaj says that if you want to rise above this birth and death, and if you want to go back to your home, and if you want to get liberation, first of all, go to the master, because masters are gracious, and graciously they connect our soul with the Shabad Naam, meditating on which we get the liberation.
Kyunki agar koi duniya de vich sacche to sacha koi sada saathi hai ya sada beli hai, oh guru hai jisne sanu naam de naal jodya hai.
If we have a real friend in this world, if we have a real sympathizer in this world, that is our master. He is our master who has given us the initiation into Shabad Naam and has connected our soul to it.
Mahatma jad apne shishyan di madad kar lende hai odon hi khush hunde hai, oh apna farz samjhde hai apne shishyan di madad karni.
Mahatmas become very glad when they help their disciples and they understand their duty to help their disciples.
Agar shish naamdan leke kamai kare apni zindagi nu pavitra banaye ta ਉਸ ਦੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਹੀ ਮਦਦ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ।
Taking the initiation, if the disciple does his meditation and if he improves his life, he always gets the help of the master.
ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਫੇਰ ਸ਼ਰਾਬਾਂ ਕਬਾਬਾਂ ਭੈੜੇ ਖੋਟੇ ਕਰਮ ਕਰਦੇ ਰਹੀਏ, ਗੁਰੂ ਵਿਚਾਰੇ ਦਾ ਕੀ ਕਸੂਰ ਹੋ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ? ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ, ਗੁਰੂ ਵਿਚਾਰਾ ਕਿਆ ਕਰੇ ਜੇ ਸਿੱਖਾਂ ਮੇ ਚੂਕ, ਅੰਧੇ ਏਕ ਨਾ ਲੱਗੀ ਜਾਂ ਵਾਸ ਵਜਾਈ ਫੂਕ।
But if you continue drinking wine and doing all the worldly things and all the bad things, even after taking initiation from the master, then what can even master do to us? Kabir Sahib said that what is the fault of the master? What the poor master can do if the disciples have the faults? What can you get anything by blowing in the bamboo? No matter how much you blow in the bamboo, it will not give you anything. You will blow from one end and it will go from the other end.
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਚੇਤਾਵਨੀ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਭੋਗ ਜਿਤਨੇ ਵੀ ਹੈ, ਅੱਜ ਅਸੀਂ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਭੋਗਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਆਖਰ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਬੜੇ ਬੜੇ ਰੋਗ ਛੁਪੇ ਹੋਏ ਪਏ ਹੈ। ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਰਾਮ ਨਹੀਂ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਨਹੀਂ, ਬਲਕਿ ਅਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੈ।
Now Swami Ji Maharaj is giving us the warning. He says that all these worldly pleasures, this indulgence, whom you are attached and whom you are indulging, understanding them as the very sweet things, they all have many serious disease, many serious sicknesses after them. And the day will come when all these happinesses, when all these pleasures will turn into the sufferings.
Panje bishe pagondeyan umar gawai yaar, eh man na rajya te hun kad rajsi yaar.
Oh dear one, by indulging in all these five passions you have spent your whole life, but still you don't have any contentment. When you have not got any satisfaction or contentment by indulging all your life, when do you expect to get satisfied?
Oh,
स्वामी जी महाराज कहिंदे है सब तो पहला सतगुरां दा कहना मन्नो। सतगुरां दा की कहना है कि जिंदगी नूं पवित्र करो, फैले हुए ख्याल नूं सिमरन दे जरिए इकट्ठा करके दोनों अखां दे दरमियान लियाओ।
Now, स्वामी जी महाराज से दैट फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल ओबे द कमांडमेंट्स ऑफ द मास्टर। व्हाट आर द कमांडमेंट्स ऑफ द वर्ड्स ऑफ द मास्टर दैट इंप्रूव योर लाइफ, डू द सिमरन एंड कलेक्ट योर स्कैटर्ड अटेंशन, कलेक्ट योर स्कैटर्ड थॉट्स एंड ब्रिंग योर अटेंशन एट द आई सेंटर बाय डूइंग द सिमरन एंड गो अप।
जिस तरह बच्चा गंद दे नाल लिबड़ जांदा है या गिला हो जांदा है, माता की करदी है उस दे वास्ते, उस नूं सुकाउंदी है, सुका कपड़ा उस नूं दिंदी है, कई दफा आप गिले थां पै जांदी है, बच्चे नूं सुके थां पाउंदी है। इसे तरह सतगुरु सानूं विशे बकारां दे विच लिबड़िया होया नूं नाम दे जरिए साफ करदे है और साडी मुसीबत जिहड़ी है कई दफा उह प्रेम दे विच आपदे सिर लै लैंदे है।
When the child wets the diaper or when the child makes the things, the diapers dirty, what the mother does, she washes the diapers and she dries them. And if the child is making the bed wet, she puts the child on the dry part of the, or the dry side of the bed, and she herself sleeps on the wet side so that the child doesn't have to go through any uncomfort. In the same way, what masters does, masters purify us, they always make us clean. And many times, in order to give comforts to the disciples, masters take many of the uncomforts, many of the problems and the troubles of the disciples on their own bodies.
ਜਦ ਸੇਵਕ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਗੁਰੂ ਔਰ ਸੇਵਕ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਐਸੇ ਕਈ ਵਾਕਿਆਤ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਸੇਵਕ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਵੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੀ ਫਲਾਣੇ ਥਾਂ ਮਦਦ ਕੀਤੀ, ਫਲਾਣੇ ਥਾਂ ਕੀਤੀ। ਗੁਰੂ ਵਾਕਿਆ ਹੀ ਮਦਦ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਤੇ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਮੈਨੀ ਟਾਈਮਸ ਇਟ ਹੈਪਨਸ ਦੈਟ ਆਫਟਰ ਦ ਸੋਲ ਗੈਟਸ ਇਨੀਸ਼ੀਏਸ਼ਨ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਮੈਨੀ ਟਾਈਮਸ ਹੀ ਐਕਸਪੀਰੀਐਂਸਿਸ ਸੱਚ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਵਿਦ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਮੈਨੀ ਟਾਈਮਸ ਹੀ ਨੋਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਜ਼ ਹੈਲਪਿੰਗ ਹਿਮ। As a matter of fact, masters come in this world only to help the dear ones.
ਫਰਕ ਇਤਨਾ ਹੀ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਦੁਨੀਆਦਾਰ ਅਗਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਮਦਦ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਹੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਦੇ ਭੁੱਖੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸੰਤ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਪਰਦੇ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਮਦਦ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਜ਼ਾਹਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੇਗੇ ਔਰ ਸੇਵਕ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਤੱਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਣ ਦਿੰਦੇਗੇ।
There is a big difference between the help of the worldly people and help of the masters. The worldly people help the people, help the other dear ones, expecting the thanks. And they always make the other one feel that they have done something for them. But the masters do not make the dear ones feel that they have done something for them, and they do not expect any thanks because they are very humble and they always do that understanding as their obligations.
Mera aap da eh jati lekin ਮੈਨੂੰ ਬੜਾ ਜ਼ੋਰ ਦਾ ਬੁਖਾਰ ਚੜਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਸੀਗਾ। ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਉਸ ਵਕਤ ਤਾਰ ਪਾ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਨੂੰ ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਬੁਖਾਰ ਚੜਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਸੀਗਾ ਬਈ ਤਾਰ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਪਾ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਹੈ। ਅਗਲਾ ਦਿਨ ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਨੇ ਆਉਣਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਸੁਬਾਹ, ਉਹ ਉਡੀਕਣ, ਮੇਰਾ ਬੁਖਾਰ ਇੱਕਦਮ ਉਤਰ ਗਿਆ, ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਨੂੰ ਉੱਥੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਬੁਖਾਰ ਚੜ੍ਹ ਗਿਆ। ਉਹ ਤੜਕੇ ਉਡੀਕਣ, ਜਦੋਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਤਾਰ ਦਾ ਦੱਸਿਆ, ਮੈਂ ਬੜਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ 'ਤੇ ਗੁੱਸੇ ਹੋਇਆ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਬਈ ਮੇਰੇ ਕਰਮ ਕਿਉਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਚੁਕਾਏ, ਇਹ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਬਹੁਤ ਗਲਤੀ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੈ, ਅੱਜ ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਗਏ। ਔਰ ਵਾਕਿਆ ਹੀ ਉਸ ਦਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਏ, ਅਗਲੇ ਦਿਨ ਦੀ ਮਦਦ ਕਰਨ ਲੱਗਿਆ। ਅਗਰ ਸੇਵਕ ਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਸੱਚਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸੁੱਚਾ ਹੈ,
ਇਟ ਆਈ ਨੋ ਦਿਸ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਇਟ ਹੈਪਨ ਇਨ ਮਾਈ ਲਾਈਫ ਆਲਸੋ। ਵਾਂਸ ਮਾਈ ਬਿਲਵਡ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵਾਸ ਸਪੋਜ਼ਡ ਟੂ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਮਾਈ ਪਲੇਸ ਐਂਡ ਐਟ ਦੈਟ ਟਾਈਮ ਆਈ ਵਾਸ ਹੈਵਿੰਗ ਵੈਰੀ ਵੈਰੀ ਹਾਈ ਫੀਵਰ And he had sent some of his sevadars ahead of him to see all the arrangements and like that. So when they came and they saw that I had the fever, they at once cabled my beloved master that I was having the fever. They didn't tell me that they were doing that. If they had told me, I would have stopped them. Later on, next day, when the master was supposed to come, he did come because he got the fever, and at once I was cured from the fever. And a day after, when master came back, I was very much upset when I heard that master had the fever instead of me, and he had taken my karmas on his body. And I got upset at the people, those who informed, those who cabled my master that I was having the fever. I wept in front of the master and I requested him, I asked him that why did he take my karmas on his body, and instead of letting me suffer from the fever, why did he himself suffer from the pain of the fever?
Dukh tera sab dur karenge.
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਨੇ ਇਹ ਛੋਟੇ ਜਿਹੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਬੜੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਸਮਝਾਇਆ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਸ ਦੁੱਖਾਂ ਔਰ ਸੁੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਸੰਸਾਰ 'ਚੋਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਉੱਠ ਕੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਨੀ ਹੈ, ਜਿੱਥੋਂ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਵਿਛੜ ਕੇ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤੋਂ ਆਈ ਹੈ, ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਸ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੋੜਨਾ ਹੈ। ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਆਪਨੇ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਕੋਲ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ, ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਅਮਲ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੈ। ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਬੜੇ ਦਿਆਵਾਨ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਦਿਆ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਆਏ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਸਾਡੀ ਸਾਹ ਸਾਹ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਸੋ ਆਪਨੇ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਾਡੀ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਦੇਹ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਇੱਕ ਇਸ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਫੂਕ ਭਰੀ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਆਖਰ ਇਸਨੇ ਖਾਲੀ ਹੋ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ। ਸੋ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਇਸ ਦੇਹ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੈਠੇ ਬੈਠਿਆਂ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰੀਏ ਔਰ ਉਸ ਪ੍ਰਭੂ ਨੂੰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਮਿਲੀਏ, ਆਪਣੇ ਜੀਵਨ ਨੂੰ ਸਫਲ ਬਣਾਈਏ।
ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਸਮਾਲ ਹਿਮ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਐਕਸਪਲੇਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਹਾਊ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਡੂ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਲਾਰਡ ਐਂਡ ਹਾਊ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਇੰਪਰੂਵ ਅਵਰ ਲਾਈਫ ਐਂਡ ਹਾਊ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਟੇਕ ਅਵਰ ਹਾਊ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਰਾਈਜ਼ ਅਬਵ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਆਫ ਪੇਨਸ ਐਂਡ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ and how we have to take our soul back to the place from where it was separated. First of all, Swamiji Maharaj told us that we need to go in the company of the perfect masters, those who have done these things by himself and those who can teach us and help us in doing this. And after that, we have to obey the commandments of the master, improve our life. And then Swamiji Maharaj told us that we have been given this human body to do the devotion of Lord, and our body is like that balloon which is filled up with the air, and as soon as the air is withdrawn, air goes out of the balloon, it collapsed. In the same way, as long as the power of God is working within our body, as long as we have the breaths, the body is working, and as soon as that will be withdrawn, then our body will just become a bag of the skin and it will find no place, it will find no honor in this world. So while we are living in this body, as long as we have this precious body, we should utilize it for the devotion of Lord. We should go to the masters, we should understand the teachings of the master, practice them, and we should take initiation and meditate on the Shabad Naam, which is the only means of liberation from this world of pains and happiness. And according to the instructions of Swamiji Maharaj, we should also improve our life and make the human birth successful.
Haan bhai, satsang samapat hai. Itthe kai satsangiyan de parivar sanu milne vaste aaye aur sab ne bada shant ਨਾਲ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਸੁਣਿਆ। ਅਸੀਂ ਸਭ ਦਾ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਅਸੀਂ ਸਭ ਪਰਿਵਾਰਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲ ਕੇ ਬੜੇ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੋਏ, ਬੜਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਪਿਆਰ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਔਰ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀਆਂ ਨੇ ਸੇਵਾ ਕਰੀ ਜਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਕਰ ਲਿਆ, ਸਭ ਦਾ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ।
ਦਿਸ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਐਂਡ ਆਫ ਦਾ ਸਤਸੰਗ। ਹੇਅਰ ਆਈ ਮੈਟ ਮੈਨੀ ਫੈਮਿਲੀਜ਼, ਮੈਨੀ ਫੈਮਿਲੀ ਮੈਂਬਰਸ ਆਫ ਦੀ ਇਨੀਸ਼ੀਏਟਸ, ਐਂਡ ਆਈ ਵਾਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਪਲੀਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੀ ਆਲ ਆਫ ਯੂ. And I appreciate very much that you attended the satsang quietly and heard it, listened to it. And I appreciate this patience, this quietness, this cooperation very much. And moreover, I would like to express my gratitude and thanks to Virginia Agnello, who arranged all the things here and who made it possible for me to meet all of you. And all the dear ones, those who helped her in making all the arrangements here, I am grateful to them also.
Our closing bhajan is Saya Tu Parda Langavi on page 195. O beloved, make us go across. Don't abandon and leave us. Don't abandon and leave us, O giver. Don't abandon and leave us. You are the forgiver, O giver. I am the sinner. Giving the support of Nam, you have to take me across. I have seen the whole world. No one is ours. Only you have to protect the souls in the ocean of the world. Shower grace, O giver. Don't push us away. Put alms in the bag of the beggar who has come to your door. Emperor Kapal is the giver. Ajayb is the beggar. Forgive all our faults and bad qualities. O beloved, make us go across. Don't abandon and leave us. Don't abandon and leave us, O giver. Don't abandon and leave us.
Saya tu paralangavi, charke na javi, charke na jaivedata, charke na javi. Saya tu paralangavi, charke na javi. Charke na jai vedata, charke na javi, tu bakshind data, me gunagar he, tu bakshind data, me gunagar he. Nam dasahara de ke karnate parhe, karnate parhe. Saya tu paralangavi, charke na javi. Charke na jai vedata. Charke na javi, dekhiya jahan sara, nahi koi apna. Dekhiya jahan sara, nahi koi apna. Bhav sagara chodata tu hi ake rakna, tu hi ake rakna. Saya tu paralangavi, charke na javi. Charke na jai vedata, charke na javi. Deya karo data ji, parnahata deyo. Deya karo data ji, parnahata deyo. Dar aye mangate nu joli kerat padio, joli kerat padio. Saya tu paralangavi, charke na javi. Charke na jai vedata, charke na javi. Shakir palatata, mangata ajai bhaji. Shakir palatata, mangata ajai bhaji. Makaro bula sabha bhakshadeyo ebaji, bhakshadeyo ebaji. Saya tu paralangavi, Sharke na javi, Sharke na jai vedata, Sharke na javi.
Emperor Kripal is the giver, Ajayb is the beggar. Forgive all our faults and bad qualities. O beloved, make us go across. Don't abandon and leave us. Don't abandon and leave us, O giver. Don't abandon and leave us. May God bless us all.